Anyway, my title is The Comfortable Christian. And I want to be talking about when the comfortable Christian meets the glorified Jesus Christ. I think the comfortable Christian is pretty satisfied with himself. Let's look at Matthew 24:44, if you would. Matthew chapter 24, in verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect. So you've all heard this. I'm sure that we do know when Christ is coming, the very day when we don't expect it. So there, you got some information. Right here, in a day when you don't expect it. And so the satisfied Christian thinks he's ready, basically. Think about it. Who are we the most comfortable talking about? Could it be ourselves? We're pretty comfortable with ourselves generally, aren't we? Maybe not, but do you remember this song? I want to talk about me. Me, me, me. I want to talk about me. You know, even I looked in the dictionary, the generation of people that are concerned chiefly with themselves. That's what the generation is. Time magazine years ago even had the front cover. And let's see, what was the me, me generation? That was, that generation, the selfies and all that. So you remember the song. Yeah, it starts out like Toby Keith. Yeah, yeah, we talk about you. We talk about your boss and about your church and your head when it hurts. Your trouble with your brother and your daddy and your mother. Your friends and places you've been, your skin and the devil on your chin, polish on your toes and the runner in your hose. Everything's about me. And we know you will talk about your clothes. Talking about you makes me smile, but sometimes I want to talk about me. There's a scripture that it reminds me of, which I may turn to a little bit, but every once in a while I want to talk about me. So, brethren, I want to talk about me, the comfortable Christian. I want to talk about me a little bit. I've got a nice house with sliding doors, so I never get bored because I can look out and see what all my neighbors are doing. A nice street with neighbors to meet. I mean, I've really got it made, really. A garden to plow, so I have plenty of chow. I mean, we're throwing away things. A wonderful wife who gives me no strife. You can't beat that, can you? No. A dog who will bark at things in the dark. What else do I need? I'm just 20 minutes from church. Where I can sit up front on my perch. Does it get any better than that, really? So I'm just pretty comfortable. So, my title, The Comfortable Christian, well, maybe you're looking at it. I would like to turn to 2 Timothy 3. There's several I could turn to, but I want to turn to this one. And you've all heard it, or I think you have. 2 Timothy 3. When people will be lovers of themselves. Me, me, me. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1. Okay, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires to... Am I in the right place? No, I'm in 1 Timothy. I don't want to get into that if a man desires to be... That's the last place we really get into. But I know this in 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it goes on and on. Unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. As Mr. Caping was talking about, does this sound familiar with the time we live in? You know, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures rather than God. Now, I would like, if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 1. And here Jesus is speaking to his church. It says there in verse 1 of Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Well, who is this? Let's look at verse 4. John to the seven churches. And it says, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. That's who's speaking, who's sending the message. Yes, that's who's sending the message. And verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So this is a pretty important message, I think we could say. We could look at, that's pretty important. He's the one that has washed us. Even the me guy is going to think about that, I think. In verse 8, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So we're getting a message from the Almighty, very important person or being, most that we would ever see. And we could look back just... I'll be right back here in Revelation, but in Isaiah chapter 9, I can read it to you. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He just said that in Revelation 1. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we have a very important message sent to us, and I'd say certainly sent to the comfortable Christian. Look at Revelation chapter 3, if you would, in verse 19. And here's a warning from this individual, the Savior, the King, the Almighty. And if you would read through the characteristics of the church, some say these are eras of the church. Also might be said that these are characteristics that are found in all the churches, probably. Some might be more than others. But anyway, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Now I'm down to, I don't really know where I am, but I'm here somewhere. Probably in verse 14. These things say the Amen, Amen, the faithful, the true witness and beginning. It's still explaining who these things, who the this is that speaking. And in verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Well, if you're not cold nor hot, you're pretty comfortable, aren't you? I mean, if I can get the air conditioner set where I'm not cold or hot, I am comfortable. But he said, I wish you were cold or hot, rather than just being comfortable. And he's speaking spiritually, of course. So you're comfortable the way you are. You're just right. Just right. Everything is going pretty good. He's talking to God's church here. Jesus Christ is. And he's saying in verse 16, Revelation 3, so then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Does anybody here like lukewarm coffee? Maybe right now you said I'd take any before I go to sleep. But, you know, lukewarm, it's not too tasty. So, you know, lukewarm. And in verse 17, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We come to the point where we consider ourselves rich. We really don't need anything. We've had years of spiritual teaching. I mean, I was baptized in 1967. I mean, I know it all, right? Yeah. You'd think I would after that many years, would you? But so we could get to the point where we're spiritually rich. We don't need anything spiritually. We could say, well, look at my spiritual knowledge. And some even come to the point where I have some special spiritual knowledge, something that maybe the church hadn't even brought out. You know, those fishing to have followers usually have some special spiritual understanding or insight. Because you got to have something to get a following. I'm such an overachiever, I need to bring these other poor people up to speed. Well, remember the fig tree? It looked so good, had leaves all over it, but there was no fruit on the tree. So I'd like to look now, if we would look at the parable of the talents. Because the comfortable Christian is going to have to meet the God of the universe one way or another. So Matthew chapter 25. And the parable of the talents. Different amounts of silver, or you could say spiritual gifts, are given here. And I saw there from the Ministerial Journal, just I think last May, if I remember that correctly, a talent was like 6,000 days of paid labor. That was a pretty good sum. Maybe, like, wouldn't that be like $600,000 or so? So each one was given according to his ability, there in verse 15 of Matthew 25. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to each according to his own ability. And then he went on a far journey. To each is according to his ability. One of them had 5, one of them had 2, one of them just had 1, but it's according to ability, right? The parable of the pound was a little different. They all got a pound. But this one, they got different amounts of talents. But we'll go on to see about the reward. Even though they got different amounts of talents, I think we'll see that those that used them, they got the same reward. 2 talents got the same as the 5 because they were given according to their abilities. And so anyway, sir, yeah, I think that's where I am. So they went to work, as you can see in Matthew 25, verse 17. And likewise, he had received two gained two more. Verse 16, he received the five talents, went and traded with them, and made another five talents. In other words, what they had, they actually doubled. If they didn't have it, they couldn't have doubled it, could they? The one with one, he could have gotten two, couldn't he? Or he could have made two. But in verse 18, we see, but he who had received one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. I just got one. What can I do? I got one talent. These other guys, they have more ability. He might reason he's smarter. I'm not that. So all I can do is bury it. He was just comfortable the way he was. I don't really need this one talent. Let's just bury this. And then when I'm called on, hey, I can give it back. He didn't really appreciate what I would say. He didn't appreciate, in our case, the truth. So he didn't grow. We just had one talent, but he didn't grow in that grace and knowledge. Another thing, he didn't obey his master because he was supposed to trade. He just didn't catch the vision or care about his life, what his life could be. Well, another thing, he was busy. He had his own thing going. He didn't really have time to develop something more than he already had. So he didn't have that. He was satisfied and comfortable, I'd say. But in verse 19, we see, but after a long time, after a long time, time can make or break us. Time can make or break us, is what I found. If you have a time, well, I need to leave at 6 a.m. And that's 2 days from now. I got plenty of time to prepare. I found myself, I got plenty of time. And then all at once, right then I'm in a panic to get ready. When I had 2 days to get ready. Well, from the beginning, if I was just given, hey, I'd got a call at 3 a.m. You got to be there at 6 a.m. Well, I would have jumped right to it. But if I had more time, I can put it off, can it? So I think time can make or break us. And I was interested in UCG mission statement, which that's not that hard, not that easy to find. I went to UCG members, typed in UCG mission statement, and I could get some sermons. So I had to go to Google, and I typed in UCG's mission statement, and there it was. But anyway, it's basically a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies. Every member supplies. And not every member's got the same abilities and the same things to work with. Supplies with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory. To bring many children to glory. So let's look at verse 20, Matthew 25. See what happened here. So who had received five talents, go back to 19 again. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Oh, there is a time of accounting. Been given this. Now, what did you do? As the boss might say. So he received five talents, came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me five. Look, I've gained five more. I don't think this man was, or this person was really satisfied the way he was. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, verse 22. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents. Look, I've gained two more. He just had two. He gained two. But his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter to the joy of your Lord. So you see, they received the same reward because they used what had been given to them. They used what their ability was. So both received the same reward, didn't they? They used what they had. Then verse 24, it says, then he had received the one talent. He said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. I mean, I know you're a hard driver, and it was too much. I couldn't do anything. And I was afraid. He said, I was afraid. I think there's a scripture somewhere that talks about the cowardness. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you've had what is yours. I'm really too busy to use this. I was too busy, or it didn't really seem that important to me. You know, I was afraid to move forward. Unwilling to work or take a risk. Well, he might lose his job. If you're living a Christian life, you can lose your job over it. Not just the Sabbath, but just being a Christian. Not stepping up or conducting yourself. People don't like you can lose your job. But he was afraid. He wouldn't take that risk. Living in this world, living a Christian life, is taking a risk, physically speaking, many times. I was talking to a man that he wanted a job, and he went to a dealership and to sell cars. Matter of fact, he had ability to sell cars. Guarantee you. He had the voice, the mannerism, everything. Well, everything looked good. But then they said, okay, if somebody calls and they want a 1955 DeSoto with a Hemi engine, you say, we got it. And he said, well, what if we don't have the car? It doesn't matter. You tell them we have the car because we'll get them in here. He said, well, what if they're driving from Weatherford, Oklahoma? Doesn't matter. We got the car. He couldn't take the job. See? He got through the Sabbath part. He said, well, if you want to miss the best-selling day of the year, fine. But they expected him to lie. And that was really stress that he would have to. So there are risks in leading a Christian life. Maybe afraid of peer pressure. So people just kind of hide their Christianity. I've been guilty of that back in the day. You know, just kind of avoiding letting people know really what my faith is. Afraid to let my light shine. So I might look at Revelation 21. You would. In verse 8. Revelation 20. Yeah, 21. There at the back. In verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, or without faith, and here it goes on about abominable murderers. So, I mean, it's lumping it all together. Even the cowardly, along with immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall what have their part in the lake of fire, which fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we can get into the situation as a comfortable Christian that, you know, I can get by here. I can still go to church. I can look pretty good, but not really letting our light shine. If it's because of cowardice. Right, and then he might say too, why try? I only have one talent. I mean, I don't have anything to give. What can I give at church or in my life? I have very little. He thought it was just too hard to get motivated and do it. Years ago, when the church was kind of imploding, one man told me, he said, you know, I've always done what the church told me to do. I've always, and he had been for years. He said, now they tell me I don't have to do that. And he said, you know, it's a lot easier. And it was, because he had a mate that wasn't cooperative at all, and he had struggles with that. So it was a lot easier. And definitely on his job it was easier. So the wicked servant failed to discharge his assigned duties. You know, when God calls us, he expects a response in the positive to what his will is. But the wicked servant just failed to discharge his, I guess you could say, his assigned duties. But you know, grace never condones irresponsibility. Just doesn't. That's actually a quote from the journal. There is never time to stop spiritually or to be comfortable with this world's morality. We can get comfortable with it and just maybe not directly go along with it, but we can get comfortable. But in this talent, each person had to increase his initial amount. That's all he had to do. Increase what God had given to receive the same commendation. That was in verse 21 and 22, which we read. And in this same chapter, chapter 25, we see the parable of the 10 virgins. I think we understand that the church is Christ's bride and it's a spiritual virgin, far as not having other fiancés or husbands and being disloyal. But we see there in Matthew 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. We're all going out to meet the bridegroom. Christ is returning. We're here today talking about the trumpet, as we heard earlier, to meet the returning Jesus Christ. So they took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So it seems to be saying to me that the unwise, well, I'm satisfied with what I have. I think this will get me by. And I'll go tomorrow and get some oil. But of course, tomorrow doesn't so many times doesn't come. I'll get to work later. I've been told this, that if you put off something until you feel like doing it, you probably will never do it. You know? It's talking about something you don't really want to do. You can think up all these reasons why not to get started. I'll get to work later, or I'll be okay with what I have. I think I'll be okay. I'm comfortable. But notice, I don't know if I read farther on, the wise took oil, but the foolish took no oil, took their lamps. In verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Well, it may indicate that in the end time, the church will be drowsy and maybe dozing off. And then verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise in verse 8, give me some of your oil, for my lamps are going out. If they're going out, that tells me that one time they had oil. They had oil in the lamp, but they become satisfied with what they had, possibly. They were satisfied what they had was all they needed. Now, once they had filled their lamps, but they didn't continue it on. I mean, we have these holy days every year repeating over and over and over, don't we? Every day we should be praying. Every day we should be looking at God's word. Because eventually the lamp's going to be running out. Let's look at Psalms 119, if you would. Psalms 119 and verse 5. No, 105. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. So God's word is our lamp. Okay, we have the lamp because we live in this world. It's brought out here this morning. It's ran by Satan. And it's dark. If we don't have a lamp, we're not going to find our way. And a light to my path. Well, if you have a lamp, that's great. The five foolish virgins had a lamp, but they didn't have any oil. So we can memorize the Bible. And I know, I'm sure some people have actually claimed to be able to recite whole sections and maybe all of it. We know the Pharisees could recite the first books of the Bible. They had the lamp, but where was the oil? God's Spirit, of course, was the oil. Now, if you turn back to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. We see here, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. I'm rich, I've become wealthy. We say spiritually speaking. I'm rich, become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We can get to the point where we don't realize how poor we are and what we lack. And we've about run out of oil because we're so comfortable. My wife had made the dinner and everything. All I need to do is go out and throw the steaks on. How long does that take? I mean, 15 minutes. Oh, I've got that covered. Don't worry, honey. You just take care of all that. I'll throw the steaks on, okay? Well, I go out there, and it just lights and goes out. I'm out of propane. Did I have a spare? No. So I have to go get propane or I have to eat without meal. And the meal's already prepared, so I guess I'll eat without the meat, okay? You know, I just wasn't prepared. You know, their lamps were going out, and now here in Revelation 3:17, we think we're rich, wealthy, we have need of nothing. We don't realize sometimes how close we are to running out. You know, suddenly, there in Matthew 25, verse 6, I will turn back there. I may have to turn back and forth to Revelation, so maybe you could kind of keep a place there. You know, they thought they were wealthy and rich. In verse 25, verse 6, what happens? Just like after a long time, when the Lord returned to the men with the talents, that something happened they wasn't quite prepared for. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." That's what you've been waiting for all this time, all your life, right? To meet the bridegroom. Cry was made, go out and meet him. And be at midnight. You know it wouldn't be when the sun's shining, when they don't need lamp. It'd be at midnight. Just when you know. But they used to tell me when I was a kid, well, the moon's more important than the sun. It shines at night when you need it. Well, here we are. It came at midnight. Why didn't he come at noon? With the sun shining, would they need the lamp? Okay, well, anyway, at midnight a cry was heard, "Go out and meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Well, can you borrow God's spirit? But it's time. I'm a little short. How about some of God's spirit? Well, God the Father gives the Holy Spirit, so we can't ask our mate or our friend and expect to receive it. "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Well, the lamps at one time, apparently they were still flickering, but they were going out right when they needed it. Isn't that the way it is? Right when you need it. You know, my car sat there all week, and then when I need it, it's got a flat tire. That's right. Isn't that the way it is, though? Our lamps are going out. The wise answer said, "No, lest there be not enough for us and you. Rather go to those that sell." And while they went, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with them. To the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came, also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." So I don't know if they went out and found some oil, they thought, but he answered and said, "I do not know you." So we don't want to ever hear that. So back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Revelation 3 and verse 18. So here we see that Christ said that this church was poor, blind, naked. They didn't even realize it. And he says, "Counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich," that you may really be rich. Yes. "And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, Well, we know the robes, you know, when the wedding supper, one came in without a proper garment, the white robes, the under the altar that John saw. They were given white robes, which was righteousness. So we need to be praying for that oil. And sometimes trials and tests may be needed, because he says, buy from me. Well, how are we going to do that? The only way, all we have is our life. What else do we have to pay? So sometimes, you know, we do. We pay with our life, the way we live. Some have even had to die, in a sense. But God's going to prepare us to meet him, kind of whatever it takes, because that's his purpose. Let's look at Psalms chapter 51. I know most of you probably have read that every year. In Psalms 51, verse 2, I'll start in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God. Yeah, there's the prayer that always we can pray. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Remember, Jesus said, you think you're rich, but you're actually naked, you're poor, you're miserable. But many times we don't recognize it. We just don't recognize it. We're well satisfied. In verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. And in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. That has to be a prayer, followed with obedience to what God reveals. That has to be a prayer. Create in me. It's not something we can do on our own. We have to be involved with God and what he's doing. In other words, doing our part, that he can create such a heart in us. Create such a heart in me. You know, what we have to ask God, what would you have me to do? I mean, I've asked that many times. I mean, what can I do? God, what would you have me to do? You know, the one talent person. But what would you have me to do? Well, God would intervene and showed him how to use that one talent. And he would have received the same reward, wouldn't he? What would you have me to do? Well, whatever talent God has given. You know, to be a light to those around us. Not fearful to live God's way. Stay with the truth. I mean, if you don't love the truth, you're not going to stay. I mean, there's just too many things going to keep coming up if you don't love it. Keep up with what's going on. You know, the Beyond Today puts out all this information, it seems, unending, for us to live by and pray about. It's there. You know, are we prepared to meet the bridegroom? Or are we just waiting for him to appear? You know, just waiting around. Oh, yeah, there he is. Are we preparing or not? That's kind of the question there, I think. Are we preparing or are we not preparing to meet that bridegroom? Comfortable with ourselves, not needing that one talent that we do have. Well, I have this one thing, but it's such a minor thing, and I'm busy, I got other things to do. I'll just hang on to it for now. You know, he thought he could put off or didn't need God's one talent. I mean, that's all I get? I don't really need that. This guy over here got 600,000. I got a talent. What am I going to do? He just thought he could put it off, and then he'd get around to it. He could get the talent. What about the virgins? The five. They all dozed off. It says they were all slumbering. This may be signifying at the end time, members may not be spiritually alert. That's for sure. We're being lulled to sleep if we don't resist it every day. Or maybe just feel comfortable with our spiritual life. I'm comfortable, been there, done that. You know, I'm okay. Maybe comfortable with this world. I can just settle down in it, kind of stay out of sight, go along with what I can. You know, not realizing these virgins that their spiritual life had dwindled. It just dwindled down. You know, as Christ said there in verse 17 of Revelation 3, because you say I'm rich and have need of nothing and have become wealthy and do not know that you're poor, blind, and naked. That's a comfortable Christian. You know, and we know that white robes would be given if we ask and react to it. And we know, Revelation 7:14, robes were washed, how? In the blood of Christ. And the one that's talking to us. And white robes would be given. Maybe don't realize what we are. I find myself there. But that's what we got wives for, right? Tell us what we are. Yeah. No, I'm kidding there. Kind of. Maybe we don't realize what we are. I'm very comfortable with my spiritual life. I just want to talk about me. Basically, we're concerned, we're happy. And we do need to talk. People need to know us. If we don't communicate and open up to people, how are they going to know us? So there's something to think about. But just talking about me being self-centered, self-reliant, comfortable is what I'm talking about. But brethren, use God's word to cut through the deceptions about ourselves. You know, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. And also, there's always false prophets and ministers there if we don't keep God's word to cut through that deceptions. You know, no longer comfortable with our carnal mind. No longer just tolerating the carnal mind and being comfortable with our own righteousness, should we? You know, so sometimes we might have to pray, Father, don't listen to my mind, but listen to your spirit that you've given me. Because our mind, I mean, my mind's over here. It's ready to get justice and be punitive. And, well, you know, those people, I hope they get what they want or whatever. And no, we'd pray, but God's spirit. We would ask God, listen to your spirit in me, that it is my prayer and not my own. You know, we need to ask that we would be worthy of God's calling. Not so rich that we feel like we don't need anything. Well, when the comfortable Christian meets the glorified Jesus Christ, I hope he's not still comfortable. I hope I'm not comfortable or still comfortable. I would like to read Malachi 3, because we're talking about ourselves, and I don't want to leave the impression that we shouldn't talk or fellowship. That's for sure, because that's very necessary. Or I feel like it is. Malachi 3, to realize that God wants us to fellowship and talk, and he is listening. He's listening. He's interested. If we become disinterested, that is a slap in the face, I think. Malachi 3:16, Then those who feared the Eternal spoke to one another. And the King James says something like often, spoke often to one another. And then, and what? And the Eternal listened and he heard them. God listens. We ask God, intervene and help me. I'm drifting along here. I'm having trouble with my own self. And so what happened? So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Eternal and who meditate or treasure God's word and God's instruction. Well, I've talked enough about me, the comfortable Christian. So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about God's plan and our meeting the glorified Jesus Christ.